I want to introduce to you tonight a little study of a Bible character. We'll read first of all in the New Testament, the Epistle of James, chapter 5, the fifth chapter, the Epistle of James. Well, the last section of this chapter, right from verse 13 to the end of the chapter, is dealing with the subject of prayer. But when you come to verse 17, there is introduced to us a man by the name of Elijah, and he is a blessed example, as it were, of prayer. Well, let us read what it said about him here. James chapter 5, verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now let us go back to the Old Testament and read some things about him there in the first book of Kings, chapter 16. First book of Kings, chapter 16. We're going to read the closing verses of this chapter, and then we'll read a few verses in chapter 17 where Elijah is introduced to us. First of all then, chapter 16 and verse 30. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. It came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the sons of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal, and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his days did Hiel, the Bethelite, built Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gate thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. Then you come into chapter 17, and Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Now Elijah is a very interesting character, one of the most illustrious characters in the whole Bible. Rather unusual character. Oh, he had some things, you would say, in common with some of the other Bible characters, but many things about him different from others. For example, you don't read anything about him before you come to this first verse of chapter 17, the first book of Kings. And he's just thrust right onto the stage of time without any formal introduction. You know, some years ago when they were having an election in this country, one of the newspaper reporters went into a foreign country, stopped somebody in the street and said, what do you think of Jimmy Carter? Do you think you'll become the president of the States? They said, Jimmy who? And you remember that became quite a thing at that time. Jimmy who? Nobody knew him. Oh, he was known down in Georgia, of course, but who else knew him? But he was just thrust onto the historical platform, you know, and he did become the president for 4 years. Who was it? And who thinks about him now? There are other people, you know, and you can see them rising to popularity step by step in each rung of the ladder until they reach the top. And some of them stay up there for quite a time. But Elijah, you see, wasn't like that. Now, you see, if you contrast him with men like Samuel, well, you're introduced to Samuel even before he was born. And then he's born. His name's given. And he grows up. And he's getting older and larger, bigger. And he becomes quite a man. And he gets into the top place in his nation and holds that for quite a number of years. Not so Elijah. Elijah was an unknown quantity. Thrust right onto the stage of time, just like a flash of lightning. But we do learn this as we begin to read what I read to you from the Epistle of James. We learn there something about him that happened before chapter 17, the first book of James. And then when we learn where he came from, we've got to go back and try to find out something regarding the time of training in the life of Elijah. We just don't know how old he was when he came along here and preached this very brief sermon. He just delivered his message and got out. And by the way, I might say this, I often wonder how he got in. Have you ever wondered it? It doesn't tell us where Ahab was, whether he was in his palace or whether he was down having some special meeting with his helpers, I don't know. But it simply says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. Now suppose Ahab was in his own house, in his own palace. How did this man get in? Because Matthew, he was a very strange looking character. He was what you might call today a hillbilly. He was a country fellow. You see, he lived away over the other side of the River Jordan. He lived in the land of Gilead. I don't even know his tribe. Oh, he may have been of the tribe of Manasseh, or he may have been of the tribe of Dan, but that's where he lived, over there, on the other side of Jordan. He lived in the hill country. A rugged man. Oh, he didn't dress like the city fellows at all. He dressed like a fellow of the country. No. Camel coat swung around him, like a big blanket, you know. Tied together with a leather belt. You know the kind. Perhaps he had a rough time. But there's one thing about him, and I want you to note this. It doesn't seem that he was brought up in any college. He didn't appear to have any formal education. Brought up in the country. But I judge that he had God-fearing parents. Well, you say, how do you arrive at that conclusion? Because of his name. You see, parents gave their children names then that had some significance. Elijah. You see, my God is Jehovah. Now that was a strange name for them to give to their little boy when he was born, because all around them at that time, the 10 tribes had turned to idolatry and were worshipping dead idols. Worshipping Baal. A temple had been erected for Baal and all the shrines in different places. Jeroboam's golden calves had been erected up here in Dan, and also down in Bethel, to keep the people from going to Jerusalem and worshipping in God's temple there. Idolatry had been introduced. Worshipping dead idols. But the parents of this lad said, no, my God is Jehovah, the living God, the Almighty One. So I judge he was brought up in a home where he had God-fearing parents. And the influence of these parents must have been felt early in life. You see, when you come back to the first book of Kings, there's nothing whatever said here about his prayer. It simply says that Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Then he turns and he walks out. Now remember this, Ahab had married a very wicked woman called Jezebel. She was what you might term at the present day a painted doll, you know the kind. And she had introduced the idolatry amongst them. She was a Zidonian. And Ahab was wrong in the first place in marrying her. It was a violation of the standards that God had laid down for his people Israel when they went into the land. And he married this idolatrous Zidonian. And by the way, it teaches me a lesson. When you come over to the New Testament, there is laid down for us a very, very simple but searching principle. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has light with darkness? So on. Here was a man who married this young princess, the Zidonian, who was an idolater. Now, a lot of people today violate the same principle. There's a young lady. She gets attracted to a nice young fellow. Oh, he's good looking, yeah. He may be. The devil was good looking when he came into the garden, you know. The devil didn't come in with horns sticking out his head, you know, and a pitchfork in his hand, and a tail wagging behind him. Mm-mm. When he appears, he's an angel of light. Very attractive. And the animal that he used was very attractive. Before it was made to crawl on the ground. Oh yes, very attractive. More than that. Perhaps, I know he doesn't profess to be, but perhaps he may come to see the truth and he may get saved, you know. Yes, or he may drag you down. That's what Spurgeon tried to tell a young woman who was telling him this, that she was praying about it to get the Lord's mind and will, and perhaps the young fellow would get saved. He says, get up on that table. He'd stand the table, and he said, take my hand. Now he says, you pull and pull me up on that table to your level. She found she couldn't do that. But it was easy for him to pull and pull her down. It's easier to pull down than it is to pull up. Ahab married Jezebel, a wicked, idolatrous princess who was a Zidonian. Introduced all this idolatry into the nation and prevented them from going up to Jerusalem and worshipping God according to the God-given way in the temple. But here is Elijah living away over the other side of the river, on the east side of Jordan. And he seems to learn about this. Not only did he have God-fearing parents, he must have been able to read the Bible that he had. Oh, they didn't have the whole Bible that we have today, but he had what we call the Pentateuch. He was able to read and understand what God told the nation. And he becomes exercised. You know, it's an interesting thing to read down through, and you say, and the word of the Lord came unto him. And again, and the word of the Lord came unto him. And yet again, when you come over to chapter 18, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Why did the word of the Lord come to Elijah? Why didn't it come to Ahab? King? Or why didn't it come to the prophets of Baal? Why didn't it come to all those prophets that were being hidden in the caves? Why didn't it come to the 7,000 who had never bowed the knee to Baal? Whether the Lord didn't come to them, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. You see, God has a right to pick his own man, hasn't he? Don't let us ever be guilty of trying to tell God who he should choose. God chooses who he likes. It's a rather amusing thing to me, although it's a serious thing in the long run. You know, some places they preach the pulpit empty. The man preaches his final sermon, that's the pulpit preached empty. And then there are those that vie for it, and they come along and they preach their best sermon. That is, if they want to be invited to that place, if it has a bigger purse than the one where they've been at, and they want the call. Follow the call for a bigger purse, you know. Don't forget it. And they come along, and then the congregation vote. There's no scripture for that at all. But they want to choose the man. And you'll have to be a man who can preach the kind of sermons they want. Not the kind of sermons they need, but the kind they want. And you see, if it's a liberal-minded congregation, they want a liberal-minded preacher. You know, when God raises a man, he sends his own man. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. When you come to the New Testament, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's all, just John. And he was the greatest of the prophets. Here, an unknown quantity, living in the hills of Gilead, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And Elijah goes over and he goes right into the presence of Ahab, and I've often tried to picture him there with his strange makeup of a dress. He would look so funny, so strange compared to the people who would be moving around in the king's presence, you know. They would have their armor on and their spears and all the rest of it, and their guards standing there. And this fellow got in some way or another. Perhaps they thought he was in to sweep the floors or something. I don't know, but he got in. If you went to the White House, you wouldn't get in. Unless it was one of those days when they let the visitors in, but you get in one door and you go through the corridors and out the other, and then you don't get into the main place, you know. Some places you can get into. But if you went to Buckingham Palace, you wouldn't get your foot right, you wouldn't get your foot over the gate. That big London bobby standing there would just keep you there. Or he'd put his shoulder against you and you'd be away. You wouldn't get putting your foot over 10 Downing Street. And it's nothing special to look at. I wanted to get a picture taken standing on the steps of 10 Downing Street. Just standing on the steps. They wouldn't allow it. Well, we'd take it out in the street, you know, and 10 Downing Street in the background, but they wouldn't let you stand on the steps of 10 Downing Street. Here's a fellow who got right into the very presence of Ahab, the king of Israel. Not only in, but he points a finger at him and he speaks to him. He says, now look, I want to tell you, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And by the way, it seems to me from the study of this, they already had gone 6 months without any rain. You and I go 6 weeks, we're beginning to look for a thunderstorm. We need some rain. They had gone 6 months without rain or dew. And they'd yet to go another 3 years. This is what I like about this man. He says, according to my word, he delivered his message, and having delivered his message, he turns and gets out. And God says, now run away again. Get across the river again. I'll go away up one of those little valleys, and go up to the brook Kerith, and stay there as long as I keep you there. Plain words, Elijah, you've delivered your message. Go and hide yourself now. And it's a difficult thing for a preacher to hide himself, isn't it? Most preachers today want to be seen. You can get a picture taken and stuck in the paper, on the leaflets, and they like you to know who they are and what they are, so on. He is a great preacher. Go and hide yourself. You know, it's a strange thing about this man, if you follow through his life, some of the things that happened to him. There came a time when he wants to die and God won't let him die. He took him to heaven without dying. Strange, isn't it? And then, you know, a lot of folk have never learned this, that God sent him back to earth one day. Sent him back and he appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses. On the Lord. Transfigured. And we'll go further than that. God's going to send him back again. Strange man. Elijah. He delivered his message and then says, God, go and hide yourself. Now, here's something that reaches our hearts. How could this man come into the presence of Ahab the king? And he says, now look, first I want to tell you this. The Lord God of Israel liveth. Must have been the common idea at that time that he was dead. The same as some people were saying a few years ago. God dead. Now God isn't dead. God can see all things and he knows exactly what's going on in this world. God has everything under control. He knows exactly when he'll put his finger on them. God just needs to blow what man is doing and just come to him. God has it under control. But at that time, idolatry had taken command. They were no longer worshipping the God of Israel, and those that believed in the living God, they were frightened, they were hiding in caves. Those that had never bowed the knee to Baal, but they weren't speaking up. Have you ever thought of it? There comes a time when silence is sin. Silence is sin. They weren't speaking up, but here one man comes from away across the river, and he comes to the place and he speaks out. Now, how could he say this? As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, he was conscious of the presence of God. There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Who is he? Have you ever wondered if they laughed at him? So who is this fellow? If he doesn't get out, we'll get the man with the white coat and we'll get him locked up. But they didn't get him. God said, off you go. I'll look after you at the brook Kerith. You'll drink of the water of that brook. And I'll provide the ravens and they'll bring you your meat every day and they'll bring you your bread every day. They'll look after you. God had everything under control. Now that's where you link this up with what you've got in the Epistle of James. It's the law of subsequent mention. See, God doesn't need to tell us a thing at a particular place. He can tell us it when he likes. And he doesn't tell us this until we come to the Epistle of James. You have nothing about it in 1 Kings 16 or 1 Kings 17 that Elijah prayed about this. Now, I want you to picture this man of prayer then. He says, according to my word, you'll have no rain for another 3 years. They hadn't had rain for 6 months. They'll have no more than another 3 years yet. 3.5 years before you get rain. According to my word. But was it his word or was it God's word? In plain words, it was God's word, which he appropriated as his word. And so when he said, according to my word, he was delivering the word, but the message was from God. And he took his stand, and as it were, he staked his whole career as a prophet on the word of God. Remember this? When you come to the Epistle of James, Elijah was a man who prayed in his prayer. He didn't preach in his prayer. He prayed in his prayer. There's only Elijah and God there. You know, when a man's praying privately, it's an altogether different thing from praying publicly. Some people, when they pray publicly, they try to give you not a lot of information. But when you're in your room, you know, and you're all alone, just you and God, that's different, isn't it? You're speaking to God. And you're just yourself. And you know that God understands you. And you speak to God. Elijah prayed in his prayer. Some of you may remember me telling you a long time ago when making reference to this particular incident. A dear old man that I knew very well, he's been in heaven for a few years now, he tells a story in one of his books of a young Methodist who had just not been long saved. And you know, when you're just newly saved, you're so full of it. He was full of fervor and enthusiasm. And somebody invited him along one night to a prayer meeting. And at that prayer meeting, one after another, three men got up to pray. My old friend wrote, he said, and they prayed wordy prayers. You know what a wordy prayer is. You know, one of those long Pharisaical prayers, long prayers, wordy prayers. There was nothing wrong with what they prayed, perhaps. Everything was exact. But they prayed the long wordy prayers. Then all of a sudden, this young Methodist who hadn't been long saved, he jumped to his feet and he says, "Oh Lord, will you kindly teach these good men how to pray?" These were men who had been saved for years. They knew the book all right, from Genesis to Revelation. Or they could have stood on the platform and ministered to you. And here this young fellow, not long saved, he says, "Oh Lord, will you kindly teach these men, these good men, how to pray?" Perhaps he has something. Elijah, in his prayer, he prayed in his prayer. In plain words, when he was praying effectively, he was praying scripturally. You see, he was praying the prayer of faith. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Perhaps the reason why you think you've been praying and God hasn't been answering your prayer, perhaps what you've been asking is not according to God's word. But this man, as I indicated to you, had the Bible, the first five books, the Pentateuch, and he knew what God said there. That if they were willing and obedient, they would eat the good of the land. But if they refused and rebelled, God would shut up the heavens like brass. He would withhold the blessing from them. Here now they had refused and rebelled, they had turned to idolatry, and they were acting as if God was dead, and Elijah knew that his God was the God of Israel and was the living God, but these people didn't know it. They were acting as if God was dead. He knew that God was the living God, and he goes down and he begins to pray, and he's got the book. And he's praying to God according to James. He prayed that it wouldn't rain. Why should he pray that? That's a hard thing to pray, isn't it? In fact, you're praying that God will bring his hand of discipline upon the nation. You say, well, why should he pray that? Because God said he would do it. Now, if God didn't do it, then these people would be justified in thinking that God was dead. That he's no longer interested, he's not doing anything. Elijah knew that God wasn't dead. Elijah knew that God was very much alive. And so he prays that it wouldn't rain. And he's so confident that God is going to answer that prayer because it's based on the word of God. It's the prayer of faith. He comes out and he makes God work his word. And he goes right in and he's going to make it known to Ahab. He goes right to the head of the house. Well, that's not easy. Not easy. Perhaps he could have written him a letter. I don't think they had such things in these days. He wouldn't know how to write, perhaps. and there would be no postman to take it. So he delivers his own message. He delivers it orally and he makes sure it gets there and gets to the right person. I once wrote a letter to President Eisenhower. I doubt if you ever got it. I sent him a book as well. I don't think we'd let him have it. The title of the book was The Secret of the Untroubled Heart. You know, he went in once with a heart condition. Remember that? So I sent him this little book, The Secret of an Untroubled Heart. I doubt if they ever let him have it. It was based on John 14. And you can write letters to people and you doubt if they ever get them. But if you can get the man face to face, you can say to him what you want to say. And so Elijah goes in right to the very presence of Ahab. Now he said, I've got a message for you. There will be no rain for all those years according to my word. And that's it. And the Lord God of Israel liveth. And I know he does because before him I stand. He was standing before Ahab. No, he wasn't interested so much in that. He says, I'm standing here before the Lord God, the living God of Israel, and I'm speaking for him. That's confidence. And it rained not for 3.5 years. And Ahab had plenty time to think it over. And he decided to get hold of this fellow from the hills. And if he could get hold of him, he would deal with him. And he blamed him for disturbing Israel. You find that when you come later on, when the face up. Art thou he that disturbed it? No, it wasn't me, it was you. You're responsible. But at this moment here, he simply delivers his message. And God says to him, that's it, Elijah, you've delivered your message now. You'll have to be quiet for a long time. Go and hide yourself. You've delivered your message. Leave it there. And God will deal with it. Now God has a place. And the place of God's selection is where we should be. Now will you let that sink a little? The place of God's selection for us is where we should be. God says to him, Elijah, I want you to go away over there. And I want you to go up one of those valleys. Where that little brook current comes down, I want you to go. He might have said, but Lord, don't you think you've made a mistake? You know, if there's not going to be any rain for 3.5 years, there'll be no water in that little hill stream. It'll dry up. Why send me there? And besides, how am I going to live? I'll need food to eat. There'll be no water. That brook will go dry. No, it's a place of God's selection. And that's where we should go, where God directs. And Elijah obeyed the word of the Lord. See, God's instructions should be followed by our obedience. You know, that comes home to all our hearts today. There's so many of us are prepared perhaps to read the word and we understand what it says, but we're not just prepared to obey it. Be all right if others obey it, but not for me. We want our own way instead of God's way. We try to make our plans, then we ask God to come into our plans and put his stamp of approval upon what we have decided. Instead of getting to the Word of God to find out what God has decided. And whatever God has decided, we should be ready to obey. And this man was willing to obey. The Word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence. So he went and did according unto the Word of the Lord. That's good. See, he was a man who had proved his God before. He had been proving his God in his early years growing up. He knew his God to be the living God. Now he's strong in the Lord. What is it that gives us strength? He knew his God in secret, the place of prayer. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings like eagles. Shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord. He was a man who knew what it meant. He had been waiting upon the Lord. He got his strength there. And he went in that strength and the strength of the Lord, and he delivered his message. Now he could be obedient to the Lord. If he expected Ahab to be obedient and repent, then he also must be obedient and he gets his time of testing. You know, sometimes after you preach, you get your greatest test. Our time's gone. Perhaps on Wednesday night we'll continue with some thoughts from the life of Elijah, take you a little further and see how he acted and what happened during the time of his testing. Let us pray. Our Father, we bow our hearts before thee now. We thank thee for thy kindness to each of us today and how good it has been to fellowship again with other believers, those that are of a kindred spirit. We pray for each one here tonight and for every home that's represented. May thy blessing rest upon them. Then we ask thee to remember this city of ours and this area. Oh God, we think of the need these days for men and women who take their stand for the truth of thy word. Remember all the young people, especially those who profess to be Christians. Give them the strength that is necessary to stand in the evil day. And having done all, may they stand. O God, be with them throughout this week. We think of some who'll have to go to their business and some go to tend to their work. Others are away on vacation. Remember the little ones who are not at school. As they play around day by day, wilt thou preserve them from all the dangers that surround them. Watch over them. Take each of us home now in safety. We ask these things, giving thanks to the Savior's name. Amen.